Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. It feels crazy that Packers Lions is just a little over 48 hours away as you're listening to this on Tuesday. It's going to be so freaking fun. I cannot wait for this one. I think this has heavyweight fight written all over it. But before we get to that heavyweight fight, we're going to have to sort of see which players are available for this game and which ones are not available. And the Packers and the Lions both have some very interesting injuries. So let's get to our Pack-A-Day injury report presented by Habish, Habish, and Rotier. From a Packers standpoint, they had three players who did not practice on Monday. Corey Ballantyne with a knee injury, Edgerrin Cooper still with that hamstring injury, and then a new addition, Elgton Jenkins with a knee injury, who was on the exercise bike during Monday's practice. Now, when I first saw that Elgton was out on a Monday, that's normal. At least like this is what their normal Wednesday practice. But still, that's normal for them. Like he usually misses that first day. And it's not a big deal. It's usually a veteran rest day. So as soon as the injury report came out, I was like, all right, cool. Elgton Jenkins, vet rest, did not practice, no big deal. Except it wasn't. He did not practice with vet rest or anything like that. It was a true did not participate with a knee injury. I don't know if that's something that flared up. Hopefully it's much ado about nothing, but that is going to be a major one that we have to keep an eye on through the course of this week. We'll talk about that with Justice Mosqueda in just a little bit. Edgerrin Cooper with that hamstring injury, unlikely probably to play Thursday if this thing is still lingering. They get a little bit of an extra sort of mini bye week coming up after this one. So hopefully Edgerrin Cooper will be able to go following this. And then Corey Ballantyne, we'll see where he's at. Not as much of a concern. They certainly have enough depth at corner to get through this one if they need to. Limited participants included Jair Alexander, Romeo Doubs, John Fitzpatrick, Josh Jacobs, Isaiah McDuffie, Josh Myers, Rashid Walker, and Colby Wooden. So those were the limited participants in practice. Hopefully all of them are good to go. If they're practicing in some capacity, that's usually a good sign, but we'll monitor those throughout the course of the week as well. Kenny Clark was also listed as limited, but just vet rest. So he was a vet rest guy. That's good news there. And then Aaron Mosby participated in full coming off of concussion protocol. It doesn't sound like there was a concussion protocol. It sounds like he was just sort of more being monitored for it, but it seems like he's good to go and was a full participant. From the Lions side of things, Taylor Decker, their starting left tackle, did not practice. Levi Onwuzurike, one of their big-time defensive linemen, did not practice. Josh Pascal, defensive end, did not practice. And DJ Reader, their big-time defensive tackle, did not practice. So they are very, very, very beat up along the defensive line. We will see which of those defensive linemen will be able to go, which will not. And of course, Taylor Decker, their starting left tackle, very important as well. Limited was Carlton Davis, and then full was Emmanuel Mosley. All right, and with that, let's get to our unbelievable conversation and nerd out on all things Green Bay Packers with the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You are looking live at the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can find him on Twitter at JUMOSQ. Of course, you can find me at Andy Herman NFL. Justice, we've got a ton to break down. I want to get to Packers Lions in a moment, but it feels like, I don't know, like 7 weeks ago that Packers Dolphins took place. I still want to ask you some stuff on that as well. Before we get to any of that, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. Arms recovering fine. Ankles recovering fine. So we're getting there. Ducks, Big 12 title chance.
Did you say Big 12? Did you say Big 12?
Big 10. Sorry. Big 16. 18. I don't know how many.
Whatever it is. Big 1,000. Yeah. You're living the dream. You've got the number one team in the country. You've got a Packers team that's playing very, very well. Like you're living the dream over there. Didn't Oregon just get a big upset in college basketball too? Like beat a top five team, I want to say.
I would have no idea. I'm not tuning into that until March.
That's very fair. But I think they did. I could be wrong on that, but I think they just, at least they were very competitive up until the end, if nothing else. But either way, let's get back to the Green Bay Packers, of course. I want to start with actually the injury updates because I think it's interesting. Romeo Doubs coming back from the concussion, Jair Alexander practicing for the second consecutive day. Corey Ballantyne remained out on Monday's practice. And then Edgerrin Cooper remained out. And then Elgton Jenkins showing up with a knee injury on the injury report. I was just sort of assuming it was going to be vet rest day. It was not vet rest day. It was a knee injury. So that'll be worth monitoring as well. But your thoughts on kind of the overall state of the Packers' health right now?
Yeah, I think it's trending up. I think the Cooper stuff still scares me. I know everyone's talking right now about, you know, hey, the linebackers have looked really good the last 2 weeks. I know Jeff Hafley just said, you know, the run defense has been looking good as of lately. Christian McCaffrey got like 3 carries in like that first half for the Niners. Then they were down, you know, a ton. The Dolphins had like 40 rushing yards the entire game. They seemed to have no real interest in running the football outside of like goal line situation, I guess.
They were too busy changing narratives. They had to prove the narratives were wrong.
Yeah. So I'm not so much on the bandwagon of like the linebackers have kind of turned a new leaf. Like, maybe. I don't think the sample size is big enough. I think we're going to learn a lot about this team when they play literally the Detroit Lions. And, you know, they're going to want to run the ball. They got two-headed backfield to play offensive linemen at tight end and just try to like run it down your throat. The Packers respected that defense or that offense enough where I actually just got out of this morning. I had I sat in on the producers meeting for Thursday Night Football, and we got to talk a little bit about Packers and Lions. They brought me in because I'm buddies with Sam Schwartzstein there, who does a bunch of stuff with Next Gen Stats. They brought me in and we were talking about, you know, their base set. And I talked about how, you know, if you remember that first Lions matchup, right, there was a lot of times where it's like Eric Wilson's in the slot. That's pretty interesting. And that's not usually something that happens with the Packers, right? The Packers are first in the NFL.
Eric Stokes,
No, Eric Wilson.
Oh, the linebacker. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. My bad.
Yep. Yeah. So the Packers are number one in the league in terms of matching cornerbacks to wide receivers, right? So if there's 3 wide receivers on the field, the Packers are going to put 3 cornerbacks out there, et cetera.
Yep.
Or I guess you should look at it as, you know, the slot plus the corners, because sometimes they play a safety in the slot, right? It's not always an exit. But in that Lions game was the one kind of tendency breaker. It was something like 13 of their 15 plays where they played base against 11 personnel came in that game. So the Packers might be playing a little heavy just to help them in the run game in this one. So the linebacker situation and Cooper's situation specifically is kind of a concern for me. It's good that Jair, it's looking like it's getting better. It looks like, you know, Dobbs is probably going to end up getting cleared if he's already in practice the past 2 days. The Jenkins thing doesn't worry me that much. I know he's listed with the injury. I know he was limited today, but it is, you know, they do have 3 practices before that game. And just because he's limited doesn't mean that
he was out though. He did not participate.
Oh, he was a DMP.
Yeah, he was on the bike. He was on the bike.
Well, now I'm a little bit worried now that you mentioned it. The thing with the interior offensive line that's goofy, and I think it makes sense for the guys that they added on the practice squad. I mean, they added an interior offensive line and a linebacker. That's kind of where their depth on their roster isn't really solidified right now. If Jacob Monk isn't going to be activated for these games, they don't really have a backup interior offensive lineman. So I think you would have pegged Elgton as your backup center. If Elgton can't go, it's probably Sean Ryan as your backup center. Your backup guard is probably Zach Tom actually kicking in, and then you're bringing the tackle off the bench. If there's 2 injuries on that interior, I don't know how it reshuffles. Like, they're probably going to move like a Telford or a
Glover. Telford would be inside. I guarantee Telford would be inside. We saw a little bit of Telford
he's
inside.
So big. He's so big, though. I mean, he's kind of like your prototypical backup right tackle, and to move him inside, that's not a great matchup, right? So no. I am a little concerned for the depth on the O-line.
No, I think that's fair. I think we're going to learn a lot more on Tuesday as to whether or not this is something serious for Jenkins or if it was basically a pseudo vet rest, but he actually had a slight knee injury. So they let him sit out, but listed it as more of a knee. But even usually when they do that, they do knee/vet rest. And it wasn't, it was just knee. And I did double check it just to make sure. And it is, he was a, did not participate in practice. So hopefully much ado about nothing, but there's like always like these random things where you're like, oh, things are going well. And then it's like, oh, Elgton has a knee injury out of complete nowhere. And I'm hoping that's, it's again, much ado about nothing, but that would definitely be one where I would have a little bit of a level of concern. I mean, I think they can get by, but like, to your point, like there's no Jordan Morgan right now. He's obviously not coming back this week at least. And, you know, so you're probably looking at what, Myers. And then I think they would put Telford inside, but that's crazy. Or that's not ideal, like you said. Yeah, so you're looking at what? Telford and Sean Ryan with Zach Tom and Rashid Walker. Your depth, like you said, very much takes a hit if he can't play. Hopefully he can, but that's a very, very interesting one to me. What are your thoughts on Jair and him potentially playing this week?
It looks like he's going to be able to play, right? I mean, I know LaFleur is being, you know, cautiously optimistic about the whole situation, but once he's able to start practicing, you would think that he would be able to ramp up and be able to go, especially when he thought he was going to be able to play, what was it, 3 weeks ago?
Two weeks, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Everything kind of gets blended together when you're on weird weeks back-to-back and you have the bye week too. I mean, he's only played 10 snaps in the last 5 weeks. So the fact that he's returning to practice kind of signifies that, you know, he should be able to return.
Hopefully that's the case. We'll see. I still think they might be extra cautious. I mean, I guess it just depends. If he's like, yeah, he's good to go, he's practicing, there's no concerns. And Matt kind of talked about that as well, of like the practice is the huge thing, because you start to gauge whether or not he's going to be good to go, and he can gauge whether or not he's good to go. And if that's the case, then you're probably just good. But if there's anything like last time with Chicago where they got to try him out on the field beforehand to see if he's ready, I think they're going to be extra cautious and just say, yeah, we're not going down that road again. We'll give him an extra week, an extra week and a half, really, if need be, because you have the actual Sunday night game next week. So we'll see. But I'm like Matt said, cautiously optimistic that he can potentially play in this one.
I do wonder if they like push for this game in terms of, you know, guys maybe giving a little bit more than their usual effort in this one. I mean,
yeah,
obviously it's a pretty big game. If you don't win this one, your chance of not playing in the wild card round, or not playing in the wild card round, but not hosting a game in the wild card round, right, is basically zero.
Yeah.
Right. So this is kind of like a all chips for the rest of the regular season game, it feels like to me. I don't know if you guys have looked into what the rest of the AFC and NFC playoff races look like. The teams that are going to get into the wild card race, it's kind of like done already, which has got to be a nightmare for the NFL. I know, you know, we're talking about it in meetings and stuff when SB Nation, when we're talking, like, how are you guys like framing this playoff race? Because usually that's what we're talking about in December, and it's like, this is kind of boring. Like, you know?
Yeah.
The teams are kind of decided outside, you know, unless you're in the NFC West or in the NFC South or something like that. It's kind of all tied up. So I would think if Jair has a chance to play, he's probably going to try to push to play in this one. Thought it was funny. He's corner four on the Pro Bowl vote. Quay Walker is linebacker six. I don't know what we're doing.
I wanted to ask you about, all right, so I will be fully transparent. There may not be a conversation that we will ever have on our entirety of time talking together that I care about less than Pro Bowl votes. Like, I do not care. Yeah. I do not care who gets elected to the Pro Bowl. Even if there was actually a Pro Bowl still, I would not care. I care about it even less without there being a Pro Bowl. So I will let you have the floor and just see, like, what do I need to know? Who's in, who's out, who's, I can't even bring myself to look at it. That's how little I care about it.
Okay, here we go. Only guy in the top three for the Packers at his
game. Wait, let me, can I guess these?
Go.
I'm going to say Xavier McKinney has to be in the top three.
First. Okay. Yeah. So he's first at safety. He's the only guy in the top three.
No, Josh Jacobs in the top three of running back?
So Josh Jacobs is fourth. Josh Jacobs is behind Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and Jahmyr Gibbs, who are not only the top three running backs, they are three of the top five vote getters across all positions in the entire sport. Don't know if I agree with the Gibbs selection there.
This is how little I know about this. So it's not AFC, NFC anymore. It's just overall.
It's not. Yeah. It's just overall right now is how they're doing the voting tallies. There's one more guy in the top five. We already mentioned him, Jair. And then the very next guy is Quay. Can you guess who is tied with Quay for sixth at his position? There's no
way. Oh, please be Devondre Campbell. Please be Devondre Campbell.
No. It's on the Packers.
Oh, wait. Who's that? Oh, wait.
Like, No. Not at the same position. Just tied for sixth at his position.
Zach Tom?
No.
That'd make too much sense, right?
Yep.
All right. So Kenny Clark, it's going to be someone ridiculous. All right, who?
Zane Anderson.
Wait, what? Special teams?
As a specialist, yeah.
Where's Daniel Whalen? Where's Daniel Whalen? That's the one I care
about. Daniel Whalen is ninth and genuinely probably the most underrated Packer on this entire list. He's not the ninth best punter in the NFL. Packers fans, get to work. We got to get this guy into the Pro Bowl.
That's the one thing I care about. That is literally the one thing I care about. I don't care about anything else. They can put Xavier McKinney at 50th. I don't care. Daniel Whalen needs to be higher on that punter list.
Yeah. That is, that's all you need to know. It's just Jacobs is fourth. How is that? Why is Jahmyr Gibbs getting so many votes? And then Coy and Alexander are probably a little too high. And then Whalen is way too low. That's those are the exact bullet points that you need to know about the entire Pro Bowl thing. So I think they have voting open for like two more weeks. The fans are a third of the vote, and then the players are a third, and coaches are the other third. So who knows how it's actually going to shake out.
Is it a top how many at each? Is it top three at each position or top five? Or like, what are we looking at here?
I think it depends on the position.
Which makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
More wide receivers are going to get in than long snappers.
I didn't know since there wasn't a game anymore if they actually just like, all right, top blah at every position. I guess you can't.
I don't know why they do anything. I don't know. Like, everyone go home or run man drills. Do one of the two.
They need to bring back the NFL. The NFL quarterback club thing would be cooler than anything that they could possibly do at the Pro Bowl. 100%. That would be worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to Packers. Not necessarily even just Packers Dolphins for a moment, but I think over the past couple of weeks, there's been sort of this Quay resurgence or breakout. There's been, you know, Keyshawn Nixon a couple of weeks ago had a really nice game. LVN is starting to put some things together. There might be a couple that Isaiah McDuffie was another one who had a really nice week this week. Again, Kenny Clark maybe starting to play a little bit better. Which of these, we just did a whole stock report episode yesterday, so I don't want to go necessarily too far in that direction, but of these potential breakout candidates, is there anyone that you're like, yes, I am buying this, I think it's actually real? Or are there any you're going in the opposite direction and saying this is 1,000,000% fool's gold?
The LVN stuff you can't fake. Right? That is him making plays.
Yep.
They're not really increasing his snap load at all. So
it's right in that low 20s still.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something to kind of maybe make you pump the brakes. The narrative I'm not buying is the linebackers right now. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, they're just not – the teams that they've been playing just haven't run the ball early on, and it's kind of spiraled out of their hand really early. If you look at the linebackers – so – next gen stats, right? Tua threw for 350 whatever yards it was. They said that the Packers corners only allowed like 70 yards. All the rest was basically the linebackers or just underneath the safeties, right? And Pro Football Focus had a pretty similar number. I think it was like 60 something yards instead of 70 something yards for the cornerbacks. You can look at the spray chart for next gen stats if you want to go check it out. It's up there out online of Tua, and everything is just that, you know, short, intermediate, middle range of the field. Nothing's hitting the perimeter. So to say the linebackers had a great game, I'm not sure I saw that. Like the glances behind their heads, right? How many times did Tua throw that? PFF ended up tracking it with 237 yards given up in the passing game by the linebackers. That is not a good day. 141 of those were to Isaiah McDuffie. That is a pretty bad outing right now. Whether you want to say like the Packers conceded that, right? That's something that I'm willing. I mean, I think anyone watching that game, including if you were a Dolphins fan, right, probably said like that thing is open all game. I mean, Xavier McKinney basically said the same thing after the game, right, where he was like, you know, if you want to do that dink and dunk stuff, like go for it. You're not going to be able to outscore our offense. You're already in a hole. But that game plan also doesn't translate to what the Lions are doing, right? Sure. And that's kind of why I'm pumped the brakes on anointing these linebackers. I'm more than fine waiting one more week to get this data point, because this data point is going to be pretty important. And I think the last two are kind of goofy. I don't really trust them.
I kind of feel that way over the last 3 weeks, sort of in its entirety of, you know, you beat the Bears, you beat the 49ers practice squad, you beat the Dolphins in, you know, the cold, whatever. That's a good win against the Dolphins, I think, in general. But the Dolphins 49ers especially did not play particularly well in either of those games. And the Bears did play well. Good kudos to Green Bay for coming out with a win, specifically at the last moment on a blocked kick. But to me, all of that is great. You did your job. You did what you're supposed to do. And I'm excited about what they've done. And I think there are incremental improvements in a lot of different areas over the last few weeks. But this will tell more in this one game. We'll probably get more out of a first half or a second half of like learning where this Packers team is against Detroit than three consecutive games in these last few that they just won.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if you're looking at this team from a contender standpoint, right? Which is kind of what we've been talking about all year, where it's like, they've been winning these games great. What translates moving forward and the lack of consistency in the past, it's kind of said like nothing. Now they're getting consistent, right? But there's no like through line. There's no real narrative, right? Other than them, I guess, getting a little consistent outside of, you know, the defensive line penalties where they're lining up in the neutral zone every play now. So if they can do it against Detroit, I will be a believer. Like whatever it looks like, I will be a believer at that point just because of what has happened in the past now. But I could also see it kind of spiraling the other way. I mean, Detroit's dealing with some weird stuff. They got cluster injuries at their linebacker position now. Who knows what's going to happen with the Taylor Decker situation, right? It's notable. Rashawn Gary, we know him as a left end or left edge, right, when he was playing outside linebacker. That Lions game was like the one time that they moved him to the right side. And I don't know if it was to get away from Penei Sewell or if they liked the matchup better. And you know, you'd just rather have one of your goods go against one of their bads. If Taylor Decker is out, right, that not only hurts them with the backup tackle situation with Skipper going out there, but Skipper is also the guy who comes in, I mean, famously, right, yep, reported eligible as a tight end. And all that stuff. So that kind of like dings them at two different spots. And if they're willing to play Gary out there, I'd probably be a little worried about that if I was a Lions fan.
We are officially in the thick of holiday season, and there's only one thing better than the spirit of giving, and that's the spirit of winning. And right now you can make your holidays bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the absolute best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. This holiday season, Prize Picks is giving away two free picks in December, and they're giving away $30+ million in rewards during Picksmas. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You do not even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Think James Cook will get more than 60 yards next week? Joe Burrow more than 1.5 touchdowns? Whatever you think, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season, and you can turn your sports knowledge into real money in less than 60 seconds. This week, I'm going with Amon-Ra St. Brown on Thursday Night Football, yes, against Green Bay, but I'm also going with a huge day from Jaden Reed. During the weekend, I'm going with Aaron Jones to have a big bounce back week against Atlanta and George Kittle to have a monster day against Chicago. However you want to pick, make sure to download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. There's absolutely nothing like seeing a football game live, and that's even more so in Green Bay than in any other city or in any other stadium. I had the absolute best time going to the Houston game earlier this year as my son got to see his first regular season game live, and let me just tell you, it was absolutely perfect. And there's no question about it. The best and easiest way to get tickets is on Game Time. Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. When I started using Game Time, it was so easy to use, and Game Time filtered out all the extra garbage to show me just the incredible deals that they had on all the great seats. It was simple, efficient, and unbelievably easy to use. It was also super helpful seeing the seat views before buying. And enough with all the false advertising on pricing. Turn on all-in pricing on Game Time to see the total upfront cost with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Not to mention they may be less likely to use Penei Sewell as a quarterback in some of those situations when they're already missing one of their other off. Oh, those freaky new Detroit Lions. You never quite know what you're going to get out of them. But I do absolutely think that. And I do start to think that this stuff has to start like just weighing on the Lions in some real legitimate way. Like they have a ton of injuries. Their entire defensive front is just, you know, on the injured list right now or already out.
you know, I know they went and got Zadarius. I'm not certainly losing much sleep over that, but like overall, like that defense or that the whole Lions team right now is just extremely banged up. And again, I just think it has to start affecting them in some way. I do think there's going to be opportunities for Green Bay to take advantage of that. I go back to last game. I don't know how you feel about this, Justice, and we can obviously break down Lions Packers in quite a bit of detail, and we can get into that now if we want, but it definitely felt like Green Bay had the ability to pass protect against that Lions defensive front. I know there's the one play where Love panics a little bit and on the pick six to Kirby Joseph or whatever, but I didn't ever really feel like they got any sort of legitimate pressure on Jordan that he felt comfortable dropping back and throwing. And I just don't think they executed all that great. And I think the injury was affecting him, but I think they're going to be able to throw the ball against this Lions defense and just not have to go against a crazy Lions rush throughout the entirety of that game.
Yeah. And they seem more than willing to actually do it. Right. I mean, how much have we seen more, you know, longer developing play action plays with all the spinner stuff and all that in the last couple of weeks when they're like, okay, well, we know our offensive line can pass protect. Now let's start to go take some shots. Now what Jordan does with those shots sometimes, and he's, you know, throwing into double coverage to Christian Watson over the middle and stuff like that, probably not the best result. But there's also plays where Jordan is breaking the pocket, not necessarily off of a long play action or something like that. But, you know, Jordan's breaking out of the pocket, and he had that play to, Jaden Reed that he ended up catching in the red zone, right? Down the right side. One-hander. And that's a play that he wouldn't have been able to make, you know, a month and a half ago, right? That Lions game, too, for those who don't remember, I remember this very vividly. They caught us at the worst possible time with all of these injuries stacking up, right? So as long as we're not missing everyone on the injury report, right, we should be in a better shot, a better spot than we were last time. So I kind of think all this stuff kind of bodes well a little bit for the Packers to at least make this a game, right? I know everyone's talking about the Lions is, you know, the one seed in the NFC. It'd be an upset if they weren't the team representing the conference in the Super Bowl, but still got to win those games. And I'm sure the Packers are looking at this right now and they're like, well, what do we have to win? I mean, this is the most important game by far on our schedule for the remainder of the season. If we lose this, we don't really lose anything. We're going to be in the same spot that we've been in for the past couple of weeks, which is like that 5-6 seed range, especially with the Commanders kind of tanking out. Put it all on the table. Like, you got a month left to play of this season, and this is really kind of a pivot point on how you want this to go. So
it's really not like super unfathomable either of like what would need to happen. I know it's like, even if they win out, it's like a 30 some percent chance, but Detroit loses to Buffalo, Detroit loses to Minnesota, Green Bay goes undefeated, and Green Bay wins the North. Like, it's not, it's not super complicated. It's, and again, like all, I think the hardest part of that is like Detroit losing three of their last five seems like a bit much to ask. But I mean, maybe, you know, Green Bay going undefeated too. I don't know. I think that seems not super impossible based on
the schedule. Detroit got hot last year too, and then kind of sputtered out toward the end. So, I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest thing.
I mean, and like we're assuming for this even to be remotely the case, like Green Bay is going to have to beat Detroit, right? So assuming like they beat Detroit, which makes this scenario even possible in the first place, like going 4-0 against, you know, Seattle, Minnesota, both would be tough games. New Orleans and Chicago both seem very, very winnable games. You know, that's not like the most crazy scenario in the world. And then, like I said, like Detroit could lose to Buffalo. That wouldn't be, especially with how banged up Detroit is right now. And Detroit, Minnesota, you get a ball bounce one random way in like that game, and Minnesota takes advantage. That's what they've been doing all season long. So yeah, I don't think it's super crazy if they did win this one, but I think it's, in all likelihood, Green Bay still ends up with a 5-6, maybe 7 seed in this one, you know, regardless of what happens in this game. But to me, it almost matters more of like to give them the confidence if they do have to go on the road three games in the playoffs, especially because they probably will end up in Detroit at some point, and or Philly and or Minnesota. Like, they're going to have some tough road games that they're going to have to get through in probably three games if they do end up in that wild card spot. So I think just being able to go into Detroit, pick up a win, and show that they can win on the road against the best team arguably in the league, I think that would give them a ton of confidence, even if they did have to go on the road for those three games.
This team's so battle tested already, though. Yeah. Right? I mean, how many of those games did, you know, me and you be like, I don't know. Malik Willis is starting at quarterback, so I don't know what the heck is going to happen. Fair. They end up pulling it out and stuff like that. Comebacks, all that stuff. So I don't know. Maybe they're already like, it really is just like, to me at least, like they just got to get a win over the Lions. Like yeah. if you really want to compete for the NFC North, if you want to be, you know, one of these teams hosting that first round, you got to get a win against the Lions. And if you don't, I don't really know what you're playing for the last month of the year, other than to not have a complete and total collapse, right? Which is obviously on the table, like not likely.
But here's the other thing I'll say too, is like, winning this game does give you a lot to potentially play for the remainder of the year. Like, I don't think you want to get into a situation where like they lose to the Lions. And I don't know what the playoff clinching scenarios would be by like the following week, but like you lose to the Lions, you beat the Seahawks and you've already clinched, but you also know that you can't win the division. I don't think you want to go like three weeks in
three,
a row.
Three meaningless games. Yeah. Three, I mean, that's a very weird, right?
Like you don't, a very you weird really spot. Don't want that before the playoffs. So yeah, there is like sort of this interesting dynamic of, man, like the NFC North is so crowded and competitive, but at the same time, like Detroit is not far away from just clinching the division or at least making it unattainable, especially for Green Bay. It's a really interesting scenario. And I don't think you want three meaningless games, even one. Like, I kind of want to see them still playing hard at the very end of the season. I want them to go against the Bears wanting to win that game. So yeah, I don't know. It's a really, really interesting outcome depending on what happens here.
Yeah. And the AFC again, the AFC is dealing with it too. There's a lot of teams in the same spot as the Packers where it's, you know, in a couple weeks, things are kind of going to be settled unless a couple teams have a complete collapse and then it matters to them. But yeah, it's going to be a weird playoff race down the stretch. Not super interesting, but at least on paper right now. But I will say we're at least seemingly going to get the right playoff teams into the playoffs this year in terms of like the top talent. There's not going to be any wonky stuff, unless just like San Francisco's just like gangbusters at the end of the season, but with the McCaffrey injury and the Mason stuff,
they're toast. Doubt it.
Yeah, that felt like it was kind of the end last night.
If Green Bay didn't finish them, Buffalo did.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
I was going to add something on top of that and now I forgot what it was, but either way, I'm very interested. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. I don't even know how many years it's been now. How do you feel about 17 and what will very much eventually be 18 game regular season?
I think you add a second bye, you push the Super Bowl. It comes down to, what is it, President's Day?
Yeah.
So it would be the day before President's Day.
I guess more in the concept of like, you know, when it was 16 games, like, do you like the 17 and 18 game, you know, what will become of it? Do you like it more or do you wish it was still 16 games?
I felt like 16 and then six playoff teams in each conference was totally fine. I haven't really seen super strong justification for needing these extra games. I mean, it's just going to make people more money. I mean, that's why they're doing it. They're not doing it for the product. It's because they get an extra week. That's why I was always surprised they just didn't add another bye week. Because of course, you know,
it's an extra week of revenue.
Yeah, it's an extra week of revenue. You're not adding any more inventory, but you're stretching the inventory over a longer period of time. It's going to be interesting. I'm just noticing this stuff from like college football right now, because obviously we're going into like the first week of the playoff, right? Or the first round of the 12-team playoff, right? So we're going to get that expanded weekend. We get a couple more rounds of these games. I didn't realize like one of the college football games for the first round is going to be on a Friday night. And then the other three are going to be on a Saturday, head-to-head with when the NFL usually has Saturday games. Right. And so, yeah. So like Patrick Mahomes is going to be playing on at the same time as, you know, a college football playoff, single elimination playoff game, and what that does. So I don't know how the overlap works with, if you stretch out the schedule in an extra 2 weeks, how all that stuff gets done. It would give him more, I guess it would give him more inventory to be able to play those like island Saturday games.
Sure.
Which I think is, you know, generally good. more national games is not a bad thing for this league. But ultimately, I mean, they're doing it for the money. So I thought 16-6 was enough. I never was like, what we need to do is expand the playoffs and expand the regular season. It doesn't seem like anyone really wants to do that other than ownership.
I will say this, when it was like proposed initially of like, we're going to take a preseason game and turn it into a regular season game. And then like eventually it'll probably become, we'll turn two, you know, preseason games into two regular season games. I was very much in the camp of like, how is this remotely possibly going to be a bad thing? And I get like, you get injuries and stuff like that. And like, it's going to like, but I'm like, how could anyone be arguing that taking two preseason games?
Oh, if you're a season ticket holder and you're paying that money, you would much rather pay that money for a regular season game every single year than
just outside of that, from like a pure football, I'm like, you're telling me I get more football? Like that's the greatest thing ever. Like, why would I, the more that I like kind of think on it and marinate on it, and I've obviously had the opportunity to see it, I feel like 16 was kind of right. Like it feels right. It still feels right to this day. And I think I'm just wrong on that one. I think it just felt like now we're getting like, not quite to the NBA where like the last, you know, few weeks for a few teams are just tank fest, but we're getting closer. Like you're already to the point with like some of these teams that start like 1-7, 1-8 already like, all right, well, it's over for us. Like it's just looking towards the future at this point. And like,
I mean, now Aaron Rodgers Jets blew up half a season in terms of actual play. I mean, I know last year he was there, but like, yeah, I mean, they just pulled the ripcord and were like, all right, on to the next thing. Everyone starts leaking everything.
And that's like with, again, you know, and now if you go 18 games, now there's another week of potential garbage teams that just don't care in that final week. And already in like week 17 right now, you're looking at like how many of those games actually matter for anything. You start getting to like pseudo preseason games in some of those. So like, I don't know, it's fine. It's not like I'm super upset about it or whatever. It's not the worst thing in the world, but I kind of like at the time just thought like, this is a no brainer. This is going to make the NFL even better. And now I'm kind of feeling like, you know what? 16-6 was probably right.
Yeah. Just the rewards aren't there for the postseason, right? One team gets a bye. If that team is going to get the bye, you know that they're a contender to get the bye by midseason, right? So you can't really close that gap on anyone. And the NFL, the way I always try to look at it is, at least under the old system, maybe now the number is changed by one. But in the old system, it was like you get six losses in the NFL because only so many teams are going to get in, right? So you could be coming out of week 5, 0-5. Well, you get five of your six losses.
Yep.
If you don't go, you know, 11 or what is that, 10-1 to finish the year, you're probably not getting in. Are you a 10-1 team? No, you just went 0-5.
Yeah.
And maybe in an 18 game season with seven playoff teams, maybe that's a 7 instead of a 6. But there is a barrier to entry into the playoffs, which is why all these games don't matter at the end of the year. But there's not enough rewards because you expanded it to 7. You only have one bye team to, you know, really incentivize a lot of people caring at the end. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I will say, like, if they do go to 18, it's like done at 18. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to play 18 and then more football on top of that, especially if you package it with, you know, the next day after the Super Bowl is going to be, you know, a federal holiday and all this stuff. Like, if anything, they would have to stretch it to earlier on in the year, which means players get a smaller offseason. And that's probably when the players will start making some noise and saying like, hey, we don't like that. Because if there's one thing players don't want to do, they don't want to report to practice, right? Like, how many times do we have to go through CBA stuff? And you're like, you're leaving all this money on the table. You're not getting any wins. And it's like, yeah, but I don't have to go to practice as much anymore. It's
like, just you wait. Like, we're a handful of years away from there being zero practices, zero preseason, and 20 regular season games. That's all it's going to be. It's just everyone's going to show up for their 20 regular. All practices will be virtual, work from home practices, and it's just going to be 20 regular season games, and that's it. And then postseason.
First 6 weeks, half weighted.
Yes, something
graded on a scale.
What could possibly go wrong? All right, before we get to the actual like meat and potatoes of Packers Lions, obviously one of the talking points already has been the picture of all the calls up on the board All right, I'll just ask you, Much Ado About Nothing or Much Ado About Something?
It is a calm system. It's not nothing.
Yeah.
I know Campbell's like, honestly, I kind of get where Campbell's coming from. They're not going to make this mistake again. You obviously didn't want it to go out. Gibbs is obviously one of your star players. So you don't want to overreact in that way. Like, blowing up isn't going to do anything for you at this point, right? So I understand why he's not, you know, going on in a tirade when he's being asked by it by, you know, Detroit radio. But it's not nothing. I mean, look at what David Bakhtiari said on Twitter, right? Where he was like, oh, he was like, this is a pretty big deal. You're going to have to change your comm system. I mean, if you're a Packers defensive lineman, you would hope that, you know, you have these signals down. I mean, you could do something as easy as just like the code words are reversed, right? And, you know, maybe switch it by half or whatever. I mean, you see stuff in college games all the time where, you know, they have 10 guys signaling stuff on the sideline and, you know, one guy has, you know, each guy has different colored shirts and only one of them is live, right? You could do things like switching if, you know, left means left or left means right on a quarter by quarter basis or even a drive by drive basis. Yeah. But it is something that's going to be communicated. I mean, those are the things that you worry about the most. I mean, that's basically signs, right? Yeah. Play calls, who cares? I mean, I have a Dropbox full of playbooks, right? I send them out on Twitter every once in a while. I have a LaFleur playbook. Yeah. I don't think I've sent that one out. I don't really want that out there. I like my team winning. But, like, stuff is out there. It's not that crazy, but the actual calls that, you know, of four or five offensive linemen, you know, the tight end, the quarterback, and the running back have to use to communicate what these protections are, it's pretty significant. It's not something that you can completely and totally revamp in a short week, especially, you know, when it's already Monday, as we're Monday night that we're speaking tonight. So it's not nothing. I would say it's not nothing.
Is there anything that Green Bay can actually glean from it, or is it nothing from Green Bay standpoint because you know they're going to change it and you can't really, you know, even because they wouldn't put it, I wouldn't put it past the Lions to be like, let's go on the first drive and just use all the same calls. So they think we're going to have all the same calls. And then all of a sudden it's going to be totally different the remainder of the game or something like that. Like you, if you're Green Bay, can you go off of it? Can you trust? I would think that Green Bay is not going to be able to really do much off of it anyway. Whereas more it's on Detroit, it's going to be a pain for them to sort of make sure that they're not utilizing the same thing every single time or the same thing that's already out there.
Different guys are going to be able to adjust to it differently. Right. NFL players are very different from high school football players, but just one anecdote from coaching high school football, like everyone doesn't have that, like, you know, I'm going to study up and learn all the tendencies and things like that kind of drive. But if you have one of those guys on the field who can call that stuff out, you know, especially if it's at the linebacker level, that would be a pretty big deal, or a defensive lineman, you definitely don't. Okay, here's how I would approach it, right? I'm defensive line coach of the Green Bay Packers. Huge raise. Great. Love that for me. I'm extremely underqualified for the job. I would like to know what they're saying in these early drives before we start to trigger on any of this stuff. What I don't want, I do not want every single one of my defensive linemen to be thinking, what are they saying? What are the checks, right? That's something that you, if you were able to do that, you would already be doing that in a game anyway, if you're able to retain that information, right? So, but if you have a guy who you trust to relay that information to you, where you have some of these freaks, like, you know, Luke Kuechly is a great example where everyone who's ever played with him is like, he knew what the play was. He knew what the play was every single time. And that guy is going to have to come from the box. But if you have a guy who can relay that information to you and is saying, like, you know, as simple as a thumbs up during a drive where it's like the checks are checking, right? Like the code words are live right now. Go off of that. So that's kind of just the way I would approach it. You definitely want to scout it out first before you make any action on it. But yeah, if you hear a Chloe or a Kardashian and it's a naked boot, we're playing it like naked boot. If you give me the thumbs up, yeah, go for
yeah.
it. Do not play the run. Go straight after the quarterback and get that sack.
Listen, any advantage that Green Bay can get, anything that makes Detroit have to put a little bit more time, effort, and energy into that stuff rather than other game plan stuff or film, whatever it may be, I will take it. I'll take any little advantage that Green Bay can get because it's going to be probably important in a game that could be this close and this important for the Pack. Yeah, go ahead.
I will say, like, the amount of advanced scouting that happens in the NFL would probably blow people's minds. There's scouting reports on referees, right? Yep. You have scouting reports on when do they snap the ball, and in specific situations, when do they snap the ball? And that's to like hold disguises and, you know, coverage shells and stuff like that, right? When they like to use double counts, all those things. Some people will look at very specific technique stuff, like how many times do we have to do the whole offensive lineman, right? If his feet are flat, it's going to be a run. If he, you know, he's yep. staggered out, it's going to be a pass type of thing. People do it with the quarterbacks too, and their stances and all like that. These are people who obsess. To think that this information isn't going to matter at all, and you just have all of their protection code words. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. No, that's, I guess
it should not be overlooked. I know he's downplaying it, but it should not be overlooked. It's at least something.
I think this is when I went through one of my scouting courses, but I forget like all the different football conversations I've had through the course of my life of where I picked this one up. But I was told a story. I know like the vast majority of the details, but there was either a quarterback or an offensive lineman who had a tell going into the game of whether or not it was going to be a run or a pass. I think it was a quarterback, and there was something the quarterback did where if like one hand was on top or something weird that they found
adjusting a glove
is something. Like, yeah.
People look at this stuff.
So they had a whole tell going into the game where they were going to know basically every single time if it was going to be a run or a pass. And one of their defensive linemen on like the very first play said, "He's doing this. It's a run." And like, just like yelled it out and then gave away their entire tell.
No.
And it was no longer a tell the remainder of the game. And like here, they were going to know whether it was going to be a pass or run. And like this defensive lineman calling it out, immediately blew the entire tell. So yeah, they know this stuff. They have it studied very, very well. So yeah, they're like you said, they're the freaks. They're the psychos. They're studying every little piece of minutia of the game. And yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of, I'm sure that piece of it would be actually very fun to know what goes into it in a game to game basis.
Yeah, that's the stuff where the guys who are pro scouts and doing advanced work and stuff like that, that's nothing I've ever done, right? I've always been in the college to NFL or XFL evaluation portion of it. To actually break down teams at that level is really interesting. Yeah, there's a bunch of things. I mean, you can go to remember when they used to do the coaches film rooms during the national championship game, and they would have like six head coaches sitting in there. One of the funniest ones was Dana Holgorsen and Gary Patterson. So Gary Patterson, defensive minded head coach, he would kind of revolutionize the three safety stuff, all the 4-2 stuff. He was at TCU for felt like 20 right. years, right? Yeah. And Dana Holgorsen is like, you know, one of the original air raid guys. And I can't remember what it was, but Gary Patterson busted Dana Holgorsen's balls about one of his tendencies during the play or during the game when they were talking. And he goes, "Do your linebackers still look down at their wristband when you call a blitz?" He goes, just totally silent. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, the college football, right? They had their wristbands on like their waist, right? And if it's a long play call, you're staring at the wristband for a longer amount of time. I mean, I don't know if that's why, if people realize that's why coaches hold up the laminated sheet over their face.
Yeah.
It's not because of they don't want you to lip read. They don't want you to be able to see how long the play call is, right? Yeah. If it's a long play call, you can, you know, double it, or you know if there's a motion that's coming in, so don't over-adjust to what the formation is going to look like early on and all this stuff. So, yeah, man, people care a lot. And that's why when all the sign-stealing stuff broke with Michigan, I was like, grow up. You know what time it is. You know what's happening here.
Yeah. I was about to say that earlier. I'm like, these signs can't mean that much. It's not like teams go through every way possible to, you know, steal these ahead of time to know exactly what's going on. No team has ever done that before. I know right now is a tough time for everyone. Grocery and gas prices are soaring, and with the holidays coming up, we could all use a little bit more disposable income. And when you've got less than stellar credit, your options can be limited. But I've got some great news for you. Kickoff can simplify credit building with plans that are the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit, making what feels impossible possible. And best of all, no credit check is required. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Now, I discovered Kickoff online and it helped me build my credit fast. And as far as those results, users with credit under 600 increased their credit by an average of 28 points in the first month. It's simple. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows fast. And you can start building credit immediately for only $1 in your first month. Want more proof? Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store, and 98% are 5 stars. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Build your credit fast with Kickoff. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, getkickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 28-point credit increase in the first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary.
Just team members. If you're affiliated with a team, you're not allowed to go to a visiting stadium. Because if it was allowed, every team would be filming something in a road stadium just to have it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm interested to see how this plays out from a call standpoint, a check standpoint, if Green Bay can get any tells, any intel, any info at all. I'll be intrigued. All right, what else are you looking for in this game?
Ooh, I mean, we touched on the linebackers already. I still think that that's the biggest one. I want to see if they're able to stop the run. I want to see their personnel. I want to see if they're going to end up playing base again in this ball game, because it's really the only time that they did it. You know, they did lose that game, so maybe you change up what it is, but it's definitely
held them to under 20 points.
I mean, they lost. So
they did.
How do you take that constructive criticism, right?
You play better offense is how you take that constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Don't throw pick six.
That certainly would help. But yeah, I think those are kind of interesting things to look at. In the offensive side, please run the ball.
Yeah.
They're banged up in the front seven. Like, let's try to make it easy on ourselves. Branch and Kirby Joseph are, you know, that's probably the best combo of safeties in the NFL right now, I would guess. Branch plays in the slot some too, especially, you know, he's kind of their drop down guy, which makes sense because, you know, he was a slot last year for him.
I think he'd play there more if Melifonwu didn't get hurt. He was coming on strong at the end of last year, and he's been out the entire year, I think. So that I think definitely changed their plans a little bit. And then of course they went out and got Amik Robertson, Terrion Arnold, and I know Rake Straw's been out basically the entire year too, but like they go out and get all those corners. So I think that probably played a factor. But yeah, I think, you know, I think definitely Melifonwu being out has definitely changed their plans a little bit.
Yeah, and Arnold's kind of a double-edged sword. A little bit, right? Because a lot of his numbers look good. And then if you're not accounting penalties, but then if you're counting penalties, he's like, one of the most penalized players in the league, very handsy, all that stuff. One of the things that I got from the conversation with the Next Gen guys, and I actually ended up getting a playlist, so I was able to watch these plays. Nub sets are probably going to be big in this game for the Packers. The Packers are running about, they're getting about 8 yards a pop on nub sets. So, you know, tight ends are on the right side, wide receivers are on the left. What that does to a defense, you have to declare if you're going to move that corner over or not, right? So do you want to match up the corners with the wide receivers, or do you just want that corner lined up on the outside with that tight end? And that gives you a pretty big, you know, zone man tell, right? So I would think,
what's the downside in doing two tight end, two wide, you know, and not spreading out on offense? Because to me, like, that's a very fun formation. I mean, even just from a very elementary, like, Madden standpoint, I always loved those formations. I feel like you could do so much out of it. I'm always kind of surprised that teams don't do more of it.
I would say how you stretch the field to the tight end side, depending on what side the back is on. That's another thing. You know, you could be nub, but you could be strong or weak. You know,
right.
You line up tight end two or away from the tight end. So if you have two guys threatening one side and it's just two tight ends, and if one's not a vertical stretcher, right, that can kind of change up, you know, what your issues are. And then the other thing is just the commitment to the run game, because a lot of times, you know, you're going to get a lot of run looks. And if you don't want to run the ball, you're going to be disadvantageous to throw into. But I think the Packers are perfectly fine running the ball right now. And I think, honestly, it's not even because of their offensive line. It's because Josh Jacobs is playing so well. He's breaking all these tackles. I know the next-gen stats guys had it was 22 broken tackles over the last two games, by far leading the NFL. That passed the sniff test to me.
Yep.
I think we were talking about the Bears game where Jacobs wasn't even, you know, his numbers didn't pop or anything like that. And I was like, Josh Jacobs earned every single one of those yards. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he's been doing since the bye. So,
yeah. I would even go back to that Jacksonville game when Willis came in that one. Like, he's just been running super hard. It feels like ever since, it almost felt like in that second half of the Jacksonville game, he's like, we're not losing this game. Give me the ball. And ever since then, they've just had that willingness to just kind of keep giving it to him. And to your point from earlier of run the ball against this Lions defense, it does feel like there is a lot more intentionality to what they're trying to do from a run game standpoint of, it, like you said, it wasn't exactly working super well and they kept sticking with it. And it's just sort of interesting that in this game, it was the Chris Brooks, Jaden Reed, Emmanuel Wilson all had the big runs to kind of get them back where they needed to be. But Jacobs, they couldn't quite get going except through the passing game where he had a massive game. So it's going to be really interesting, but I do think they are going to be able to stick with the run, or at least they should. And hopefully they don't get down 24-3 or 28-0 like they were to Minnesota and behind against Chicago at times. Like, they can actually go out and finally play an NFC North game the way that they're capable of. That would be very, very nice in this one.
Yeah. If I were the Packers, I guess my overarching theme, I would try to make the game short. And I don't think that it's because of any sort of skill gap. I know that's kind of like a strat, like,
yep.
You know, if you're Army football, right, you want to make the game short, because if you're playing more than a couple drives against, you know, any name of Power 5 school, they just played Notre Dame, right? If you're playing more than a couple drives against Notre Dame, it's probably not going to be good for you, right? Yeah. From the Packers' perspective, I just think it's kind of where the matchups are, right? Terry and Arnold can kind of go one way or the other. Do you really want to play that coin flip? I think they have good safeties. This isn't the game to kind of be trying to get it all in one chunk,
yep.
Right? Their defensive line is banged up. Their linebacker level is banged up. You know that they want to be a stop the run, run the ball football team. They can't really do that because of the horses right now, right? So go take advantage of that. Just pound the rock as much as you possibly can and try to give yourself a shot at the end. And, you know, maybe if they're using those code words at the line of scrimmage, you get a sack fumble or something like that on a play action.
That defensive front against the Lions offensive line is going to be such a huge story in this game. And if they can actually get pressure, it's been a little bit better as of late for Green Bay. As we sort of started our conversation, this is going to be the litmus test. Like, this is going to be the real one on the road in Detroit. It's a very good Lions team, albeit a little bit banged up, albeit with some code words out there, that this is the one. And I really want to see them go out and play their best. As we're recording this, 3.5-point Lions favorites going into this game, Thursday night football in Detroit. How are you feeling overall about the potential result in this one?
I'm not going to pick it, but I'm really excited to watch the game. I mean, I know I kind of sound like a broken record, but I think we're going to find out a lot about this team and kind of where their strengths are and all that stuff. Hopefully Jair can play. If not, there might be a question mark at the cornerback spot, right? That's something that we haven't even talked about, but, you know, there's still a rotation with Valentine and Stokes. I don't even think you learned anything by rotating those guys against Miami, because all they did was throw those glances behind the linebackers,
yep.
Right? But I feel like they're getting more consistent. I'm starting to believe a little bit for negative justice. I just want to see it against Detroit. I promise you, if they do it against Detroit, I'm going to be so loud and so annoying for the until we lose. I'm going to be so loud and so annoying until we lose.
I'll go further. Packers are winning this game, Justice. They're going to win this one.
Let's go. They're in a better spot than they were last time, and it was closer last time than I thought. So I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked at all.
I feel it. I feel it in my bones. I feel like they're going to come out on top on this one. I think they're going to want to go. And like they've heard all about Detroit being the best team in the North and the best team, and they're going to out-physical you, and they're going to do all these things. And the trigger. I think Green Bay is going to go and just be like, we're going to shut these guys up. We're going to out-physical them. I don't think they're going to out-physical Detroit, but I think they're going to hang with them from a physicality standpoint. And I think Green Bay is just going to have a little bit more oomph, and I think we're going to see the vintage Jordan Love performance this week, like the one we've been waiting for, where it's just like, oh yeah, that's right. When he wants to, he can just totally play at a different level. We're going to see it this week, Justice. I'm calling it right now.
It's Toyotathon.
Right? You can't beat him.
Toyotathon.
He's unbeatable. How upset is Toyota that Jordan Love's got to deal with Bergstrom going already that he probably can't get out of at this point? All the money's there to be made.
Oh, well.
What can you do? All right, Justice, what do you got cooking at Acme Packing Company, and anything else you want to plug as we get out of here?
We got a bunch of numbers up right now. On the linebackers, that's going to be something. Again, I listed a bunch of these off on here. Got the injury report throughout the week. If you haven't seen the leak of all the play calls on the whiteboard and stuff like that, I guess we should call them code words, not play calls to be accurate. That's going to be on the front page probably throughout the week. So whenever you're reading this, it's probably, or listening to this, it's probably going to be up. Hopefully we get a couple more breakdowns of some of the stuff that I was talking about, like the nub sets and things like that before the Lions game, break down some of these matchups. We'll have 5 questions with the guys at Pride of Detroit who are great. They're our sister site, so they do the exact same thing for the Lions. That site is blowing up like crazy. I think that's where like just Lions fans kind of built this little enclave for years, and now it's just fully released out into everyone else. So we're gonna have some Q&As with them to preview this game. It's gonna be a fun week. Honestly, this feels like a playoff game. Just because of how important it is for either team, right? For us, it's, can we sneak back into the conversation where we have something to fight for over the last month? And it's not just, hey, we're going to be the 5 or 6 seed. For Detroit, it's to hold us underwater and make sure that we will not be hosting them in a playoff game anytime soon. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Cannot wait to check out all of your stuff over at acmepackingcompany.com. Of course, make sure to follow them at JUMOSQ over on Twitter. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for Justice and I. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.